battle. I don't usually do that, but it's really what it is, discovering what you have when you find out what you can't change, because that is the story of Jesus. By the way, the text down below that, guys, in the back, everybody will look back there now, isn't really what I need it to be, but if you could do that, if you can kind of trade that out, that would be good. So, freedom is one of those things, like people talk about trigger words. Let me just kind of go there first. People talk about trigger words sometimes, and I'm that guy. I look at it and I think, you know, you're saying trigger word because really you're just saying, hey, I can't control my emotions, so you stop doing that. That's kind of the way we use it these days, but there are those kind of words. And for me, freedom is one of those kind of things. I hate it when freedom is taken. One of the things that will make me want to kind of jump out of my skin, get up in somebody's face, especially is within Christian circles, when somebody wants to take freedom. Do you know what I'm talking about? Like, you can't be a real Christian and go to a concert. Watch me. Seriously, Foreigner was amazing. Saw it twice in 1 year last year. You can't be a real Christian, and you can't be a spirit-filled Christian. And anytime people start kind of getting, we call that legalistic, man, there's just something in me that wells up. One of our core values at this church is freedom, the ability to be who God made you to be and make your own decisions in areas the Bible doesn't specifically discuss. We believe in this very, very much. And freedom is freedom to do and freedom to abstain from doing. It is both of those things. We believe in freedom, the ability to make choices and to have some measure of control over my life. And it feels like it's something, and I'm not going to be political, I'm just going to kind of give a big sociological, cultural kind of a thing that I think some of us would understand, maybe most of us. It feels like that is something that we have lost in 2020. For some of us, we're looking at it and we think, well, it's just temporary, once COVID. Others are saying, wait a minute, you know, government don't like to give back what it takes. And so we have some kind of stress because we're feeling like we're losing some freedom, don't we? I have missed going to the movies. I can't go to Regal anymore. Thank God, by his providence, he got us out of there before 2020 because we would have been shut down completely. We wouldn't be meeting right now. It feels like we're losing some of that freedom. And freedom, part of that is the ability to control what I will do and what I won't do. Mary and Joseph have no freedom. They have no control. It ended when she said to the angel, remember the angel had put before her, greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you, and told her this whole thing and laid it out and waited for an answer. And she said, remember this? I am the Lord's servant. May it be to me as you have said. The moment she said, my identity is in God, therefore I will do whatever he wants. In that moment, control left. It's out of her hands. She's going to be pregnant. Joseph is going to have to see a pregnant Mary and hear her say, no, it's okay, God did it. And he's going to say, I'm going to divorce you, but I won't do it publicly. And she's going to have to go through at least one night where she is just like crying and just heartbroken before he comes back. The angel has spoken to him. They have no comfort, and we'll see this in the story. They have no approval from the townspeople. Just think about people. Now add religion. Now add scandal or hint of scandal. How does that go for folks? Yeah, it's not going to go well, right? No. The angel told me that God got her pregnant, so it's okay. And the townspeople are going, dude, you are a fool. You kidding me, man? She playing you, boy. They're looking at her like she is the worst thing on earth. They don't have the approval of people, and they don't have any power to make any changes or choices. Everything is stripped away. Keller calls it core idols, and I think it makes sense. Like surface idols are the things that I think I want in the moment. So maybe it's money, maybe it's pleasure, maybe it's something else, maybe it's my ego. Those are surface idols, and you can deal with those, but it's a good idea to take care of the core idols, the core things that we really trust in. And our core idols tend to be control, comfort. I don't have time to work all this out. Approval of others, and power over. We like those kind of things. And they are stripped of every single one of those things. The only thing that Mary and Joseph have is this. The angel said to her, greetings, favored woman, the Lord is with you. That's all they have. They don't have the townspeople on their side. They probably don't even have Mary's family going, oh, we love you, we trust you. No, daughter done lost it. Like, I don't know if they have much of anything, but they have this one thing. You're a favored person. You have the grace of God, and the Lord is with you. That's not just for that moment. That is, the Lord is on your side. He is with you. He's watching over you. He's got you. That's all they have. And so here's the story so far, just to remind you. Zechariah and Elizabeth are an older couple. They have not been able to have kids. She has been barren. And the angel shows up, Gabriel, and says, hey, remember that prayer you prayed? I don't think I've been praying much lately. I'm an old man, and I don't need much. Yeah, way back decades ago when y'all were going through month after month after month of finding that your wife wasn't pregnant. Remember that prayer? Yeah, we finally got it. Your wife's going to have a baby. Dude, she's not young. Don't tell her I said this, but her wrinkles got wrinkles. Yeah, she's going to have a baby. And so Elizabeth, this older woman, is pregnant, if you remember the story. And Mary hears this, and Mary goes off to see Elizabeth because she don't want to deal with her town and her people and Joseph. And so she goes to see Mary, stays there for 3 months, Elizabeth delivers. Mary comes back, has this confrontation with Joseph. Joseph, the Bible says, decided to divorce her quietly, being a just man, not wanting to put her to open shame. The angel has to speak to him. He comes back and he says, I was so wrong. And he says, I'm going to marry her. God does the impossible. He does it twice. He gives an older woman past childbearing years a baby. He's a virgin, a baby. Does it twice. And now everything is out of their control in every single way, completely out of their control. Now, God will allow for or orchestrate events that fulfill prophecy, but none of it is easy. And here's the thing about this story, guys. Listen, God doesn't tell them the outcome in advance. He doesn't say, hey, you're going to talk to Joseph. He's going to seem like he's going to turn from you, but don't worry about it. No, she doesn't know. She doesn't know the end of the story. Have you noticed that God rarely tells us the end at the beginning? He's teaching us to trust him. You go through a hard trial and you say, I don't know what's going on. Everything seems crazy and it's chaos. Yeah, you have no control, but can you trust God? That's the story. That's what's going on. They don't know the outcome. And here's the big idea for today. We find lasting joy in Jesus. Listen, when all of our idols are stripped away and we're left with the knowledge of his presence and his favor. Let me say that again. We find lasting joy, not happiness, joy in Jesus when all of our idols are stripped away. They're just taken. They're gone. And we're left with the knowledge of God's presence and God's favor. And that's all we have. Happiness is a pittance. It's different than joy. Like, I'm getting a new tattoo. I'm happy. Oh, it's infected. I'm unhappy. That ain't cool. Happiness comes and goes. It's like just a moment. I got a belly full of food. I'm happy. Oh, that kind of hurts. I'm unhappy. It's a moment. It's related to happenings. Joy doesn't come and go. Joy lasts. Happiness is outside of our control most of the time. Joy lasts. I've always marveled at the fact that the Bible says that the disciples were taken and beaten, and they were released. And do you remember what it says? The disciples were released, and they rejoiced that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for the name. That ain't happiness. You beat me, that ain't happiness unless I'm beating you back. But the idea that, hey man, I got to be identified with Jesus, and that's enough. And if I'm going to suffer, at least let me suffer for him, and that's enough. That's joy. Joy lasts. So Mary comes back from visiting Elizabeth. Joseph agrees to marry her. He's a laughingstock. He's a fool. She's something else that I can't say because kids are in service. But it's all good. Angel has said, greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you. And I can imagine saying, if he's with me, why are people laughing at my betrothed, the man I'm engaged to, pledged to? Why are they shunning me? And that's where we jump into the story. Luke chapter 2 and verse 1. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that the whole empire should be registered. He's a politician. Let's count them, make sure we got all of them, because I don't want anybody missing paying their taxes. He said, politicians ain't never changed, right? Let me count them. I want to know how big my kingdom is, and I need that tax money. This is the first registration. It took place while Quirinius was governing Syria. I've got a different version than I usually preach. Hang on. So everyone went to be registered, each to his own town. You register the head of households. That's who he's going after. They're the only ones who really have to go. But here's the thing. They have just, Mary and Joseph have just lost control. Joseph has to go. Either he's going to be split from Mary and leave her in a town where they're talking bad about her and treating her like garbage, or this pregnant Mary is going to have to take a journey that is 90 miles, 70 as the crow flies, 90 as you walk, 90 miles walking pregnant. Joseph has to go, with or without Mary. And that's where that song, With or Without You, comes from. That's a little known fact. Just a little freebie for you today. And we see the picture at this time of year, and it's nighttime, and there's a moon, and it's just beautiful, and she's up on a camel, and it's just the two of them. Nah, they used to travel together. They would have gone with others who needed to go that direction. They would have stayed in a group, just so you know. Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem. Hey, quick, bonus points. What does Bethlehem mean? Let me help you out. House of bread. Yes, absolutely. Jesus is the bread of life. They're going to go to Bethlehem because he was of the house and family line of David. And so in terms of name, he is going to give Jesus that kingly name, even though he is not going to be the father, biologically speaking. And so they head out to be registered along with Mary, who was betrothed to him, engaged, pledged, and was pregnant. It's a whole scandal thing going on. While they were there, the time came for her to give birth. This is probably during part of the census. I used to say, hey, you know, they could have waited. Maybe they stayed there for a while. But here's the thing. She's still in a guest room for animals kind of thing. She's not in a main part of the house. There's no room for her. So it's got to be while the census is still taking place. This can't be how she wanted. She's in a strange town. She's not probably surrounded by all of her family, which I'm sure she would have wanted. Women, think about this. You want your mom by. You want to show your dad his grandson. Family's not there. The joy of being able to say, hey, here's your, oh yeah, Joseph, it's not yours. So many things are robbed from her in this moment. She doesn't have that. That celebration is not a celebration. This is a loose woman who is pledged and yet pregnant, given birth. She's not in control. There's no comfort in any of this, and she doesn't have the approval of others. These things have been stripped away. Here's what she has. Greetings, favored woman. The Lord is with you. That's what she has. That's all she has. Fortunately, it's enough. Then she gave birth to her firstborn son. Firstborn, because she's going to have more. Jesus has half-brothers. You'll find them in the Gospel of John. You'll find them in, I think it's Matthew, where the house is full and they come and they try to take Jesus because they think he's gone mad. Firstborn also means prominence in the Jewish mindset. It means double share of the inheritance. It means if anything happens to the dead, he is head of the household. Jesus is firstborn. He's firstborn over all creation. Let's just take a minute and remember this is not just a meek and mild little baby. This is God come to earth. The Bible says this about Jesus. He is the image of the invisible God. So if you want to see what God looks like, you look at Jesus. He is God in the flesh, Emmanuel. The firstborn, preeminence over all creation. For everything was created by him. Speaking of Jesus, he is, when we talk about the Creator, in my head I always just think God the Father. It says that Jesus, everything was created by him in heaven and on earth, and all things have been created through him, and here's the cool part, listen church, all things have been created for him, for his glory, for his good pleasure. In fact, the idea that he would create us because he wants us to be in his presence, he wants us to be with him, and he would even go to the cross to win us back so that we could be in his presence, in relationship with him, by, through, and for. Let's go back to the story. Then she gave birth to her firstborn son. She wrapped him tightly in cloth, swaddling clothes, right? The same thing you would use, listen, the same thing you would use on someone who is being embalmed after dying. You almost get that foreshadowing of he is born to die. And laid him in a manger. Quick, what's a manger? Feed trough for animals, right? feed trough animals because there was no guest room available for them. And I know the story, and you know the story. And I picture him going to like a Motel 8 and the guy going, I don't care if she's pregnant or not. I'm getting bank out here. This place is full of people. Y'all go to the barn. It's not really that way. I don't know if they had, the word that is used is not like they had a hotel. It's not that kind of a thing. There was no room for them in the guest room. And so they stayed in an area that a lot of houses would have where you put some of your animals in at night. That's where they're staying. Stanky, dirty. And she's taking this brand new baby, God come to earth, and laying him in a feed trough for animals. Talk about no comfort, no control. Yeah, that's where God is laid. And we hear silent night, holy night. All is calm and all is bright. By the way, I figure Jesus screamed. I figure it was bloody murder, just like every baby. I have never heard a baby go, When they're first born, man, they're screaming. I would too. You took me out of a warm place. What am I doing here? It's bright lights and somebody just spanked me. I'm all... Here's the thing. It is not calm and bright. Even with that, if you peel it back, if you were to look at Revelation 12, which talks about this thing, when Jesus is being born, listen, it's all out spiritual war. You had to go read Revelation 12 today. Oh my goodness. There are things that happen in the spirit world that have nothing to do with what we see in our world. And that's why, and I just want to take a moment. I want to, even though this isn't part of the story, listen. That's why I think it's important to pray, because I think there are things that happen when we pray in the spirit world that would blow us away if we had any idea whatsoever. God says to the disciples, pray to the Lord of the harvest to send out workers. Well, God, you're going to send out workers anyway. He says to pray. The Bible says pray and don't give up. The Bible says you don't have because you don't ask. Remember what God said through the angel to Zechariah. Hey, your prayer has been heard. Prayer moves the hand of God. Listen, if God is going to do whatever he's going to do, there ain't no reason to pray. If you are straight on, all out, so reformed that God is sovereign, and no matter what's going to, it's all going to happen, it doesn't really matter if I pray or not, then don't pray. But if you're going to believe in the biblical God and the biblical idea that prayer moves the hand of God, man, there ain't no excuse not to pray, right? I wonder what we could have in terms of peace, in terms of life and joy and if we would pray. I wonder what God would do if we would pray. That he's saying, I'm waiting for you to pray, and we don't pray because we don't believe. And God doesn't do it. Prayer moves the hand of God. In the Old Testament, there was this man who prayed because he'd seen a vision, and an angel was set into flight and actually had to fight the prince of another territory to get to Daniel, if you'll remember the story. What can you do when you got no control whatsoever? Because, man, I kind of feel that right now. What do you do when you got no control? You trust and hope in the God who does, and you pray to him. You got to let the idol of control die and trust God, especially where we are in the country right now. You say, well, I want to act. I want to. Cool, pray first. Well, I just think we need to support. Cool, pray first. Well, I've decided that I'm. Pray first. And then, as God leads, act. Don't jump out there like, man, we're just going to rise up or we're just going to pray first. Pray. So, God's got to send out some birth announcements. His son has been born. And I figured God's going to send them to like kings and princes and all these rich and powerful. Brad Pitt's going to get a birth announcement. Jesus been born, right? I know it's going to happen. You figure that's who God's going to send the birth announcement to. But you know the rest of the story. In the same region, in the same area, shepherds were staying out in the fields, keeping watch at night over their flock. Probably not December, because they probably would have been in December. Probably more like April, somewhere thereabouts. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. And they were, what do you usually read in the King James? What's the next words? They were what? Sore afraid. I love the King James. Ah, we're sore, and we're kind of scared. I love that. They were sore afraid. Literally, it means that they feared a great fear. Because when the glory of the Lord shines, and when angels show up anyway, there's always fear. Remember Isaiah saw the glory of the Lord and said, woe is me, I'm dead man. I'm a dead man, I'm finished. And God chooses to send the birth announcements first before it goes to anyone else, to stinky, untrustworthy shepherds. They were considered unclean. Shepherds were outcasts. If there was a legal matter, you needed more than one shepherd because they were considered untrustworthy. There had to be two or more shepherds to go along with whatever the story was. And he comes to these unclean because they would have to deal with other animals and kill them to protect the sheep. He comes to these unclean, untrustworthy, nobody shepherds who stink of the sheep. That's who he comes to. Angel said to him, "Don't be afraid, for look, I proclaim to you good news," literally gospel, of great joy that will be for, and this is what blew people away, of all people. Not just the Jews, because the Jews figured we're God's people, we're the covenant people, we're the ones. Gentiles, yeah, they don't get in on this. And the gospel announcement is for all people. And I'm looking around, and it's true, because I don't think we have a whole lot of Jews here. Still God's people. But we get to get in on this. We get to get grafted in. We don't own this thing. We didn't come into this thing as owners. We were grafted in. And so there's humility in there. This started with the Jews, but God, in his great mercy, said, "I want all people to know me." Gospel is for all people. And he says this, "Today in the city of David, a Savior was born for you, who is Messiah, Christ, the Anointed One, the Lord, born in Bethlehem." This is a prophecy out of Micah chapter 5, 700 years prior, that said that Christ would be born in Bethlehem. And here's the thing, if you think it through, Christ is born in Bethlehem, but everybody knows him as coming out of what city? Nazareth. Yeah, and if you ever noticed, nowhere in Scripture does Jesus take time and say, "Yeah, I know that I come from Nazareth, but I was actually born in Bethlehem, and so you can believe in me." There's nowhere in Scripture where Jesus actually takes the time to explain how this thing came to be. And I've learned our God is much less "let me explain" than he is "trust me." Have you noticed that? God very rarely says, "Let me give you all the details." He just says, "Are you willing to trust?" Because if you know the Scriptures, you have to say, "Wait a minute, Messiah must come from Bethlehem." Jesus was, he grew up in Nazareth. Heck, we knew his family. We knew. Much less, "Let me explain," much more, "Will you trust me, even if you don't understand?" That's who our God is. "And this will be a sign for you," angels talking to the shepherds. "You will find a baby wrapped tightly in cloth and lying in a manger." Why is that a sign? Because you don't put babies in feed troughs. Probably don't wrap them in that type of cloth too often. Grave clothes. And the shepherd's got to go like, "What? That doesn't sound like Messiah." "Suddenly there was a multitude of heavenly host," literally heavenly army, "with the angel, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and peace on earth to people he favors.'" Glory to God in the highest heaven. And it doesn't say peace on earth. Nowhere in the Scriptures. That's a KJV. Hold on, I want to make sure I offend everybody. Let me look. That's a KJV mistranslation. There are other ones. Trust a newer version. All right, so that should knock our viewership down just a bit, which is cool, so others can log on. We want to do this thing right. That is a KJV mistranslation. Nowhere in the Scriptures does it say peace on earth, goodwill towards men. They didn't translate that right. Every modern version will translate it better. Glory to God in the highest, and peace on earth to people he favors. In other words, when you have his grace, there's peace in your heart, regardless of the circumstances. When you trust in him, you can have peace, regardless of the 2020 COVID, this sucks, circumstances. You can have peace. We find lasting joy in Jesus when all of our idols, including control and comfort and approval, are stripped away, and we're left with the knowledge of his presence and favor. When the angels had left them and returned to heaven, the shepherds freaked out, took a minute, said, "Yeah, that really happened, right?" "Yeah, it did." "Okay." And they said to one another, "Dude, we got to go straight to Bethlehem. We got to see what has happened, which the Lord has made known to us. We got to check this thing out." They hurried off and found both Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. Here's how they did it. Small town, even though you got the census, and they said, "Hey, is there a baby that's been born? You hear something loud crying, and maybe they sent a feed trough. You know of a pregnant woman that was in a room that was for animals because there's no more. Oh, yeah, they'd be over there at Mark's house. Yeah, over there." went out and found him. Mary has just given birth. Listen, ladies, you may know this one. She's just given birth. She ain't feeling all happy and chipper and let's dance around the house. And a bunch of stinky, smelly, unclean, listen, shepherds are a bunch of people she's got to host because God gave them the news and he didn't even have the good sense to ask her first for permission. She got no control or comfort whatsoever. How many of you women are thinking, man, I want to have a baby in a main, and like I want to, you know, like in a place where you keep animals, and I want a bunch of people to visit me right after that. That would be awesome. Dude, there may not be enough meds for that, right? This isn't comfortable. And she got no kind of control over the situation. What she has is the privilege of being a virgin who's giving birth to God the Son. She's not in control, but the Lord is with her. She's not in control, but the Lord is with her. She has no comfort, but the Lord is with her. And that's what matters. Here's what they can't control. Where the baby will be born. Census. They ain't got a choice. You ain't going to mess with some supreme dude who will cut your head off. They can't control the circumstances. They cannot control where the baby will be laid. They are wherever they could find space. They cannot control who will visit and when. But they can trust God and they can find joy and hope in him. The Lord is with you. Once the illusion of control, once that is exposed as a lie, and it is a lie because we control very little of what happens to us. Any company ever come to you first and say, hey, we're thinking about closing down and getting rid of your job. Would that be okay? Has anybody ever done that to you? You've lost a job before. Did they ever come to you first in advance and say, is it okay with you if we? Nah. My wife got the notice. Hey, there's this guy coming from, I won't even name the country, it doesn't matter, and you're going to train him, but first we're going to take a class so you know how not to offend the guy you're going to train that's taking your job, and if you don't, we won't give you your severance. Nobody ever came to her in advance and said, is it okay with you? The illusion of control. You ever bought a car used and somebody said, hey, I just want you to know, it ain't going to go very far before it blows up, but please buy it. You don't have a lot of control. You really don't. That's an illusion. And once that is exposed, we're free to enjoy God and trust him alone, regardless of what happens, and to have peace and to have joy. After seeing them, they, the shepherds, reported the message they were told about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. So God's first witnesses to this whole thing are untrustworthy shepherds. And they were. They were known as untrustworthy. Go back and read. By the way, God's first witnesses to the resurrection, do you remember? Who were God's first witnesses to the resurrection? Women. Did they trust women in that day and that age? They were dumb. They should have. But they didn't trust women either. First witnesses. Yeah. Resurrected. Nah, you just, man, he's just a woman. Nah, you just seeing things. It's just your emotions. You're just all hysterical. No, you need to learn to trust her, bro. God has a habit of exalting the humble and the forgotten, and making them those who proclaim his truth. And when you think, man, I'm a Christian in America, and I don't know that people care much about me and what I have to say, can I just tell you, you're in a perfect position to be used. God uses those that nobody else would trust to give a news and a message that is beyond trustworthy, that changes eternities. Life is overwhelming. Mary is a young woman. She only has one choice. Okay, I have no control over how I do this, apparently. Her only choice is just how to handle all of this. Mary was treasuring up all these things in her heart and meditating on them. She's not fighting back. She's not crying. She's not screaming. I'm sure those times are there sometimes. She's human. She's treasuring up these things. Hey, you know what? I ain't been with a man. I just had a baby. You know what? God has favored me. God has said that this baby will change the world. His name will be Jesus. He will save his people from their sins because Jesus means God is Savior or God saves. She's treasuring up. She's pondering. She's wrestling with. She's trusting in. The Lord is with you. That's what she's got. She don't have circumstances. She's got the Lord is with you. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had seen and heard, which were just as they had been told. They return. They still got a job to do. Just because you get good news doesn't mean everything stops. That doesn't end. Sheep's still there. Somebody got to watch the sheep. Just a little further down the path. We're not going to go far, but stay with me just a little further down the path. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of King Herod, wise men from the east, Persia, these are Persian priests, arrived in Jerusalem. Probably 1 to 2 years after the birth of Christ. We know that based on what's going to happen that I'm not going to read because kids are here, but where Herod is going to want to try to get rid of his competition. It's not on the same night. I know you and I have the little things. We got the little manger scene, and we got the wise men here, and there's three of them. We three kings of Orient are. No, Persian priests, not three. They just have three gifts. We don't know how many. They arrive 1 to 2 years after. And if you notice, Mary and Joseph haven't left. Would you want to go back to the city where you're a fool and she's not a good woman? They ain't going back. They're making home. They're in a house. Where is he who has been born King of the Jews? They come to Jerusalem. They figure this is the capital of Judaism. We'll ask them. For we saw his star at its rising and have come to worship him. We've been following a star, Persian priest. And the reason that they are doing this is because of the influence of Daniel, who, by the way, had been in this area many, many years before, hundreds of years before, had had no control, but it had great influence. Because when you give up control, you're free to just simply influence and trust God. When King Herod heard this, he was deeply disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. Yeah, King of the Jews, kind of disturbing, right? They're all freaked out. So he assembled all the chief priests and the scribes of the people and asked them where the Messiah would be born. Hey, there's some guys here looking for Messiah, the anointed one, the Savior, the Christ. Where's he supposed to be born? Check this out. In Bethlehem of Judea, they told him, because this is what was written by the prophet. So they know this stuff by heart. They're quoting this by heart. And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, because out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. They know it by heart. They quote it. But here's the deal. Listen, and you need to know this. Head knowledge without action means nothing. They quote it. They know it by heart. They have heard that Christ is here. You know what they didn't do? Go see him. They didn't go the 5 miles from Jerusalem to Bethlehem to check this thing out. It's the only thing they didn't do. 5 miles. They got all the knowledge. Faith without works? Yeah. They never go see. Herod secretly summoned the wise men, asked them what time the star had appeared. He wants to know where his competition is because he wants to wipe out his competition. Again, we will skip over some of that. He sent them to Bethlehem. The wise men said, go and search for the child. When you find him, report back to me. I want to worship him. I just want to worship him. No, you don't. You want to end him. After hearing the king, they went on their way. And there it was, the star they had seen at its rising. It led them until it came and stopped above the place where the child was. I've seen stars before. I've never seen one that moves, but this one right over the house. When they saw the star, they were overwhelmed with joy. Entering the house, not the feed trough little room. They now have a house. Joseph is a carpenter. It's good to marry a carpenter. I'm just saying. If you want a house, good in that day and that age, it's good to marry a carpenter. When they entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and falling to their knees, they worshiped him. In the scriptures, there were people who fell to their knees before the apostles. And the apostles would say, no, get up off your, I'm not God, don't you dare worship me. You don't ever get to worship anyone but God. They fall to their knees and Mary doesn't say a word because he's God. And they worship. This little one-year-old, one-and-a-half-year-old. I've met 1 and 1.5 years. I've never wanted to worship one of them. Take care of them, hold them a little bit, maybe spank them by the time they turn 2, a little bit. Don't tell anybody. I've wanted to, I'm just saying, even if it's your kid. I've never wanted to worship. They fall to their knees and they worship because they recognize foreigners recognize this is God. And then they opened up their treasures and they presented him with gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. gifts that you would give a king or a priest, or that you would give that are used for anointing for burial. By the way, Mary and Joseph, skipping a bit, are going to wind up having to go to Egypt. How are they going to finance their trip to Egypt? God knew in advance. Gold and frankincense and myrrh to people who are poor. And being warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they, the wise men, returned to their own country by another route. And if you'll remember the story, Mary and Joseph also have to flee to Egypt. That's the Christmas story. There is no control. There's no comfort in any of this. They don't have any control. They don't have any comfort. They don't have approval for many, especially their own. Here's what they have. The Lord is with you. They got that. The Lord is with you. When God is all you have, that's all that's left. You find that God is more than enough comfort and approval and control and power. None of those are promised, and they're not a source of joy. They become idols. I must be comfortable or else somebody's going to catch it. I need to be in control or else, man, I'm really going to be upset. I need the approval of others. Please, please, please like my Facebook post. And if you would comment about how wise I am, that would be awesome. There's happiness for a second until you realize that somebody you like didn't comment or didn't like it. Or they put a frowny face. Oh my goodness, why did they? Listen, that's temporary happiness. Don't live for that stuff. Our hope, our joy is Jesus. He is our comfort. He is our approval. He is in control. He has all power. We find, we said this before, lasting joy in Jesus when all of our idols are stripped away and we're left with the knowledge of his presence and his favor. The Lord is with you. That's all she's got. And it's more than enough. It doesn't mean that it's easy. It means it's more than enough. The Bible says you have been sealed with the Holy Spirit until the day of redemption if you know Jesus. Whether you feel like it or not, the Lord is with you. Whether the circumstances, listen, whether the circumstances right now seem like it or not, the Lord is with you. God wants you in his presence. You were made to be in the presence of God, to be in relationship with him. That's what you're made for. And I know some of you will think, yeah, but you just don't know how bad I am and you don't know like what I've done and you don't know what I'm struggling with. I don't. Let me ask you something. Did you take advantage of a woman and murder somebody today? This week? All right then. Hey, David, I want you in my presence. I know everything you did. I knew it before I called you. I still love you. It's not an excuse for sin. It's a God who says, I know what you struggle with, and I love you anyway, and my son has paid for it. That's Christmas. The Lord is with you. And some of you right now are buying the lie, listen, that until you get something straight, something right, something good, until you finally take care of this mess, get rid of that sin, stop struggling with that habit, that God doesn't want you in his presence. Are you kidding me? How small is your God? Yes, he's holy, but he's also someone who sent his son to sacrifice himself on the cross to bring you to himself, and your sins are paid for if you know Jesus. He wants you in his presence. You're meant for it, and that's where joy is. Not control, that's where joy is. Not comfort, that's where joy is. Who cares about approval? You got the approval of the only one who matters. And it's in spite of, not because of. Because of his son. If you know Jesus, the Lord is with you. You trust in him. You hope in him. You follow him. You celebrate him. Listen, don't stare so long at what you've lost that you miss what you have in Christ. Let me say that again. Don't stare so long at what you've lost that you miss what you have in Christ. The Lord is with you. And if you don't know Jesus, today is your day. One of our ladies here, in fact, it was Pastor Corey, was speaking to someone, and the person said, I believe in Jesus. And Pastor Corey, with great wisdom, said, that's great that you believe in Jesus, but do you believe Jesus? Do you believe? Oh, I believe in God. I believe in Jesus. I believe. Great. Have you trusted him? Have you said, you're going to be my Savior? I'm going to wrap my life around you. If you haven't done that, today is the day that you do that. Let's take a moment and pray, then we'll see if there's any questions.